Welcome back to The Whip Around, your weekly look at news and current events, where nothing is safe and nothing is sacred. Be warned, there will be pop culture spoilers, low culture language, and potentially some cultural insensitivities. With your hosts, Jill Yapsuga.
Having my moment with my mac and cheese.
Yeah, yeah.
It's amazing and I feel fabulous, so do it.
Dr. Phil LaPorta.
No, this guy represents death and you're going to die. Like, that should happen. It's funny you say spewage. It's space toilets.
Oh!
And Sean Hayes.
I'm participating in the currency exchange of your attention for my
right,
compliment.
As opposed
to... I'm the baloney man for Halloween. You just can't see it.
Have too much fun with the whip around.
I should have pulled up an... I can link that tomorrow or tonight later. Whatever. No big deal.
You should have.
On the vine.
Greetings, citizens new and old. We're here again in the Whip Around sound stage of basement glory. Now with more Christmas lights. Now with more sign language jokes. And now in room with Phil and myself.
Hello.
Sean, of course, are Gabe Mara and Ryan Snyder of Sex and Violence
Yay!
Podcast. Top Gallant Radio gents.
Hi, Sean. Hi, Phil.
How
Hi,
are
Gabe.
You?
Hi,
how
Ryan.
Are you? How are you, boys?
We're good.
Good, yeah.
Ryan, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good, buddy.
Keep going.
Phil, how are
this,
you?
I'm well.
But how are you? How are you really doing? How are you really doing?
It's Hi, a Phil. Sex and Violence crossover. Hello, I'm Gabriel Elizabeth Mara the Fourth.
I am Ryan Winifred Snyder the Seventh.
Hello, Winifred.
Hello.
I don't have anything that fancy. I wasn't ready for that shit.
I got murdered.
LegalZoom.com.
That is right.
They got you.
First off, before we go too much further, I just want to say we have a very special show. Number one, the fact that we have movie experts in the room, and it's going to be a movie-related topic, you shall see. We also have Phil, who's got, A, an exciting announcement, B, all kinds of science-y stuff that he's going to tell us about in a second.
Oh, my.
And C, is just kind of extra cute today. And
Thanks.
That's not just the wine talking. Phil's a little super cute today.
Thanks. I think it's my dark gray slacks.
Well, your cheeks are
it's
nice
adorable.
And rosy, so it kind of
well,
brings
that's
out
the wine.
Yeah,
so
yeah
how,
man.
I appreciate
you're
it.
Like, you're like on the wrist.
You're like
too?
Strawberry. Oh, you're like it. Strawberry beefcake today.
Oh, that's good.
That's your super name. Hence
wow.
Forth.
Rainbow buff.
I tell you what. When I okay, so
my little broy. I don't know.
Listeners, I'm going to ask you to please comment on the Facebook page on that because if I ever take an amateur fight, that's going to be one of my names.
That's right. In fact, I hope
one of those is going to be the name.
Hope I can moonlight as the announcer. Let me get a picture. I'm not sure what that looks like.
No, you got to flex, Phil.
Yeah, you got to really get in there.
Show it. There it is.
Oh, wait, yeah.
Yeah.
I just feel like I just look constipated, quite honestly.
I would like to make sure we do, and I want to get permission from our guests to do this.
But of course.
We've got this opportunity to have all of us here in the room for Phil doing some science-y magic. Is that all right? And then I want to turn this over to you guys, but I'm just so excited to get Phil sciencing with everybody.
We love science.
Can we do that? Can we start off with a little bit of fun, and then
we can
turn and ask sort of what's going on with the sex and violence stuff?
Sure.
But first, let's just, you know, get it right in there.
Let's warm it up with...
A shot of science.
Let's warm it up with...
It is time for Phil's segment...
Science! Still matters, damn it. That's right, I did point and everybody's looking.
Yeah, I'm like, what's happening?
Because out there is science.
There's a spider on the wall or something.
Yeah,
okay, beyond the wall.
Which would also be science. Okay, all right.
I thought you were waiting for Sean to hit like a bell behind me.
Yeah, like, oh, I forgot to pull the
science, the cord of science.
The disco ball comes down.
That'd be amazing.
Phil,
I loved
it.
Science me.
Sure.
I'm a Phyllis.
So this is one of those beautiful, simple stories. There's an amateur astronomer. Down in Argentina. Actually caught, and the first time anybody's ever done this, we've caught later part. Quick question for the room. Does everybody know what a supernova is?
Yes.
Probably.
I just know champagne supernova.
It's an oasis song.
Yeah.
Exactly.
No,
it's when two Gallaghers fight on stage.
Yeah.
Supernova is a very large star explosion, right?
Pretty much.
That becomes a black hole?
Well,
not always.
But that's how it, that's right, that's
one
how
of the
a
ways
black hole happens.
Well, okay. Not always, but it's
not
one of the ways that
not every skank in high school gets pregnant, but that is how dumb assholes are made.
This is true.
That is also science.
I'm going to ding you on that
so,
one.
Yeah. All right, someone did okay. What with a supernova now?
So now we've seen these things because you can – basically, it's a star that explodes. But in terms of what we can see here, you may see stars in the night sky get incredibly bright. You may see stars that you never saw before show up. And there are historical records of astronomers in early cultures, the Chinese cultures in the early centuries AD and Native American peoples recording.
That's not right. Matt wasn't there before.
Exactly.
What's he doing?
Noticing
there?
This bright light in the sky.
Hey,
that's bright
get
enough,
out of there.
It's bright
offensive
enough at night.
Chinese accent. What is that?
That was it was British.
That
was
oh,
British.
Mine was.
Oh, oh.
Yeah.
I was trying to cover for you.
Yeah, no.
Bright enough at night to read by, these things can be. That was a weird phrasing.
Yoda's right, you guys.
So.
Someone caught.
Now, we always see these things after. Somebody happened to be testing out a new camera with their telescope, and for the first time ever, caught the start of a supernova.
Oh, man.
What did it look like?
It looked exactly like you would expect. I mean, it's just, you know, a gigantic explosion in
space!
Thank you. Thank you.
But it's this bright light that shows up, and I've got an article that I can link you to in the show notes. And if you're not looking at the show notes in our comments on Facebook,
you're a piece of...
You really should be. Because I got a wonderful little animation of this guy taking exposures over several minutes, and all of a sudden there's this boop bright spot that shows up where there's nothing before. And it's the first time astronomers ever caught a supernova from the beginning.
And they have verified
awesome.
That that's definitely
yeah.
not.
It's nothing. No.
For the Diorios out there, this was not a supernatural.
It's not. No, it's not an alien, Dave. Don't
flashing us or
Dave,
something.
Dave, get out of the bunker. It's not an alien.
Okay.
No, it's a supernova. And it's beautiful. And I love it for this reason, too, is because it was an amateur astronomer who had pretty basic equipment that you could buy for like a total of a couple grand, not even. And he still caught the thing. And it's the first time it's ever happened. So if you're out there thinking science isn't for me, no, science is for everybody, man.
If you're out there with your hands in your pockets under the night sky, oh, shucks, kicking rocks.
Yeah.
Get a pair of binoculars and look at the moon, honestly.
Hold on a second.
What?
This was astronomy equipment in the thousands. I don't want to mislead the children.
No, absolutely.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you right now.
Those binoculars... Maybe if the moon explodes.
I'm saying get
are those binoculars glued to a magical telescope that costs a grand?
No. Get like a good pair of binoculars and look at the moon, and the difference in what you could see with your naked eye and a pair of binoculars is astonishing.
On you, maybe.
Well, I'm always impressed. I'm easily impressed.
Thank you.
Let's be honest here.
Thank you.
But this is just one of those things where you don't have to be part of a lab. You don't have to be funded by grants. You can do science and you can be an explorer. You can be an astronomer in your backyard and still contribute to the scientific community. And even if you don't contribute to the scientific community, you can just see some wonderful stuff out there. So, you know, invest in a cheap telescope even, you know, and just point it at the sky and look at some stuff. It's a beautiful thing.
But Phil, if I may, how did he do it? I mean, like, if there are other astronomers all over the world of prograde stuff looking at the sky,
right.
Did he just, was this perfect magical chance he had
absolutely.
To catch it?
Absolutely.
It's like the Tiger Woods of amateur astronomy.
It just happened to be like, he's like, okay, let me point at the spiral galaxy so I could test my new camera.
That's one.
And just off to the edge of the spiral galaxy, you just see this like, boop, and here it is. And all of a sudden, there's a
Phil,
supernova
showing up. That's easily over 100 miles away. I don't
that's
understand.
Way further
106,
than that.
Oh, boy.
I think.
Closer to 110.
Does this individual know it's definitely a he? We're not being sexist.
No, I'm not being sexist. The guy's name is Victor Busso.
Now, okay. Is that now the Busso Nova or something? Does he get to name?
That's a dance,
know,
isn't it?
Yeah.
Gabe, you know that better than
I do. Is he naming after the girl from Ipanema?
There you go.
There it is.
But does he have any say? I know there are you know, alpha numeric...
There are certain rules to it, but I'm not 100% sure.
Okay, can we go around the table? Phil, I want you to go last. What would you name a supernova if you had to, like, right on the spot? Like Ryan, what would you name a supernova you caught with your $1,000 of amateur astronomy equipment?
Whew. You can name supernovas? That's just incredible
that's
to me.
First.
I hope I'm wrong, but I just want to know because we're greedy here in the whip around.
The Crimson Phallus.
Oh, that's good. Especially if it, like, if it, at all there's an elongated.
Yeah,
like,
I'm
then, you know
something.
What? Everybody would look for it if you did that.
Yeah.
Everybody would be like, I guess you can probably see. Like,
yeah,
like
I can see the shaft. And
it's not exploding, so it's kind of flaccid looking now.
Well,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Gabe, a supernova.
You know, I want to go for something simple, like how I'd name a dog. I want to give it a human name to confuse people.
Mm-hmm.
I'd probably go with something like Ron. I call the first one Ron.
Yeah.
Also, after my favorite character in Harry Potter series, the much maligned Ron Weasley. So
he's maligned?
Much maligned.
Oh.
Rupert Grint? No love for that guy.
Well, there is sort of an anti-shipping of him and Hermione. People tear his literary fate away.
Yeah, he should have stayed with Lavender Brown. Everyone, right. Let's be honest.
Right.
But you know what? I want the supernova to be Ron, so we can see the explosion that Ron Weasley caused in my mind and heart.
Wow. I didn't really have an answer prepared, so I'm gonna second Gabe's thing. I want Supernova Ron.
Team Ron!
Or we go like Ron Fallis.
Honestly, I was actually going to... The thing that was going through my head...
You're gonna say
Ron. No, I was actually gonna say the fart Supernova. Because I just want academics their entire fucking life
say the
course back in 2018, we found the... Fart Supernova.
So many through the teeth pronunciations.
Right, and no acronyms, so they can't say each little thing.
No, they can't.
It's
just the fart supernova.
Which I believe stands for...
No.
Damn it.
Farts.
It smells for...
I like that.
Also that. Yeah.
All right. So, Phil.
And just for the record also, I'm going to stick with something I said at the end of the last time I did this. This is definitely science that has nipples.
Ooh.
Yes.
Thank you.
That is the George Clooney's bat suit.
Thank you, Citizen Paul.
Yes, indeed. All right. So that has been an exploding nipply episode segment of
Science! Still matters, damn it.
That it does.
I love it.
But we have an extra boost of fun here because now that we are all amped, now that we are all excited.
Now that we all drank wine.
Now that we all had some wonderful wine.
Fantastic.
I want to turn our attention where it belongs, which is with Gabe and Ryan. So, guys, thank you for thank you for playing with us today.
Thanks for having us.
Hi.
What is new in the world of sex and violence? What is new in the world of your podcast? What has been going on? What is about to go on?
We're so off format right now.
All right. That's a February thing, I guess.
Yeah, it's weird. Like, we've been going with our formatting of, four different, categories for movies. Now we just started hitting, all of our wish list stuff. Mostly for Gabriel.
Yeah, I'm planning to move to California eventually. Money is tight.
Yeah. So we're doing all the stuff that he always wanted to do, and then we're just trying to fill out every little thing. And
makes sense.
I don't know. We're still having fun. We're still watching movies with tits and samurai swords.
Yeah.
Hold up. That's in the movies, or you get together with a bunch of tits on one side.
I plead the fifth.
A barrel of samurai. All right. Barrel samurai swords over there.
And okay. A barrel of tits over here.
Right.
We're
a bunch of serial
it.
Killers.
Yeah, yeah. It's like an Andrew Dice Clay wet dream in some capacity, I think.
Hey, Ryan.
Hey. Would you ever, will Brain Smasher, a love story, ever end up on the Sex and Violence podcast, do you think?
To be perfectly honest, if the Dice Man's ever going to end up on Sex and Violence, it's probably going to be in the form of a palate cleanser of Pretty in Pink.
Okay.
So,
like a Ford Fairlane.
Fair.
Yeah. What was the one? I always think Dice is in it. It's a movie about a bouncer or something with Terry Hatcher and some other meathead actor.
Isn't that Brain Smasher?
Is that Brain Smasher?
I think it is.
I feel like there's another one.
There's Ford Fairlane. Which is when he actually has a song in that one, I believe it is. I got tits on the right, tits to the right of me, tits to the left of me. Like I got something, or girls to the right of me, girls to the left of me, got tits all around me, but I ain't got you.
If we do this movie, Sean, will you commit to guesting on the episode?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely.
If only
as a musical guest at that point.
Oh, wow.
Please do, sir.
Well, you don't want me singing. We learned that a couple episodes ago.
We always want you singing. What are you talking about?
Oh, the Eagles song? Come on.
I want you singing
that. Horrible.
I still hear it.
Fly, Eagles, fly.
I still hear it. So what could maybe people, is there anything we can tease? Is there anything you can sort of hint out at us? I noticed you had the ladies on the show recently. They
that
joined you.
Fun.
Do you have anything coming up on that where there are either special guests, anything that people can look forward to?
Well, we
on
have
top
some
of the usual joy that you bring.
We have some fun new, we have more My Grody Valentine episodes coming out sooner rather than later.
Those have really been peaking lately.
Yeah, I'm
those
so glad.
Those have been really cool. Especially very recently.
Yes, I know. I can't imagine.
They've really hit something recently.
We've had a string of wonderful guests, including some Sean Hayes guy from some podcast.
Kind of
that
a hack,
like.
But decent movie choice.
A brilliant hack. Some physics doctor who did the thing.
Bill Laborda, I think. That's
Mr. Bill Laborda? Yeah, I think that's
from Allenburg, Pennsylvania.
Yeah, so that's a fun thing. I don't know what we have coming up next, Ryan. We're finishing up all of our classics.
We've got some fun giveaways coming up.
We do have a fun giveaway that extend.
I wish I could see.
Oh, yeah,
this.
That's right.
What is the
prize? I completely
forgot
to talk
here?
To you guys about that beforehand.
Yeah.
My fault.
We'll do that off air afterwards to remind
edit
for the
thusly.
End there.
Edit here. Yes.
Cut.
We're going to be doing one of our favorite movies with a friend of mine who's also an artist. He's a graphic designer. So we're going to do The Warriors as episode 50, I think. And he's been designing a custom Warriors poster for us.
Congrats, by the way, on coming up on 50.
Yeah, it's awesome, guys.
It's been a long road.
Actually, it's almost certainly been more than 50. It's more 55 with the My Gritty Valentines.
And the one lost episode.
Oh, that you guys always...
Still very embarrassing. Oh,
wow. Yeah, I'm actually still embarrassed to this day. It was actually...
Was that we didn't push the button episode or something like that?
No, everything's saved. It just got corrupted.
Faulty laptop episode.
Yeah.
It's not just us, dude.
So there is a tech issue we haven't hit yet. That's the one we haven't had yet.
Where the file just goes away.
That also apparently just happened with the Waveback podcast, where they just had no audio for an episode.
That is a bummer.
And
sorry,
it breaks
Chris,
my heart. Chris, big fan. I wrote into you guys recently. You were kind enough to mention my letter, and it shatters my heart because they were doing an episode on Streets of Rage, which is one of the best video game soundtracks ever, and apparently Matt's audio didn't record whatsoever. Streets of Rage has
also
this
good.
perfect 80s action film soundtrack of all dance beat stuff. Amazing.
Do you guys remember, what was the one with Madonna? The premise was the bandits have kidnapped Madonna.
Oh.
And you literally are supposed to go rescue Madonna.
No, I was going to say Revolution X, but that was the one with
Did you get to play Sean Penn?
That's just it. And it was right in the time when he was in the news.
Shanghai Surprise.
Maybe being a little rough with her. So watching her get punched in the stomach.
You're like,
at the beginning
this
of
is
it was
a little too real.
Right, that's right on the nose. Vigilante. It was Vigilante.
Oh, okay.
I'm almost sure. Wow, this
Look
is
at us.
The,
wow, we just went to...
all kinds of fun here.
Time is magic.
That is correct. I don't mean to break brand with Sex and Violence, but how is Slow Readers going? How are the rest of the Top Gallant episode? Mabopper? Because there's the one I always forget to mention.
Only Lovers
Sex and
Left
Violence,
in the library.
That's it.
There's Only Lovers Left. We've been having trouble putting that together because the leader, the main girl of the show, Christina, she's in Puerto Rico. Where power is still a problem.
Oh, wow.
We've put them on hiatus for now until we can make sure that Christina has constant internet access.
Sure.
The show is not going to move forward for now, which is a shame. But
one more reason to help out Puerto Rico, everybody.
Yeah.
No, I think that if she just tried hard enough, she could use paper towels to fix her,
Well, don't they have a bike that you can pedal really fast?
Yeah, that has to be it.
And yeah, and presidential
paper towels.
Paper towels. Yeah.
I don't know why they don't just do it. It baffles me.
I don't know.
But Slow Readers is chugging along as always. I don't know. Have you guys heard the latest episode where Daniel and I unveiled the Alan Smithy game?
I heard
about the game.
I feel
guilty on the Sex and Violence
because I'm not reading anything right
on
now.
On the
so
Sex
like,
and Violence,
like
I'm an 80-year-old.
Sean, you are a writer. You will enjoy this.
All right.
So, do you guys know who Alan Smithy is?
For some reason, I'm thinking graphic novels.
It's Alan Moore.
Okay, never mind. Then no, not off the top of my head.
Okay, so let me get into rigmarole mode. Alan Smithy is the name a director gives to his movie when he completely disavows it.
Oh, that's right.
When he doesn't want to have his name on a movie because he fucking hates it, he says Alan Smithy.
Mm-hmm.
So we have this game that we play in Slow Readers. I can't wait for Ryan to play. We're going to have
a
call
I did
in
hear
soon.
About this. Let me,
yes,
I wanna,
you
yeah,
did.
I want to hear this in
Could
detail
be fun.
Now.
Okay. Could be fun.
Yeah.
So basically what we do is that we have director and a producer. We're trying to find a way to add a critic to the game to make it a four-person game because I think it's very fun. And if you guys would want to play at some point, we'd love to have you. We'd have call-ins. But let's say, for example,
it sounds
that
like a drinking game.
Yeah, if it's basically a drinking
game.
It's let's say, for example, that Ryan is a producer and Sean is the director. Sean has 5 minutes to tell us a film of his own creation, scene by scene, top to bottom, everything that happens.
We open on a barrel of breasts.
Pretty much. Yes. Explosion.
So, pull back.
Barrel of samurai swords.
But what will happen is that Ryan, the producer, would give Sean a genre, a cast, and a location, and then he just lets him run loose. He has to make a movie. Sean has to make a movie that he would enjoy seeing. It can't be deliberately bad. He can't shit all over the movie. It has to be a good enough movie to watch. And then in the meantime, throughout the story, Ryan can pause the game to throw production wrenches into it. Say, for example, Ryan, for example, give Sean a genre, a cast, and a location.
Okay, you're going to make a science fiction film in Chile.
Ooh.
And part of... I'm going to give you two cast members. I'm going to give you Michael Fassbender and Whoopi Goldberg.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
And then you'd go for it.
Atacama Telescope.
If you guys would want to play maybe at the end of the episode, if we have time, we should do it because it's fun. And
Telescope
then,
the movie.
Exactly. Oh, no, that's his prerogative.
But then in comes a pause, perhaps, of like Michael Fassbender's teeth have now fused together.
Exactly.
Permanently.
3 minutes in, Ted Danson has come back in and demanded that he and Whoopi get back together,
He
demands a part in the film. And you have to cooperate into that whole
Ted premise. Danson demands to be in blackface in your movie.
Oh, boy.
And then at the end of the thing, if you don't finish, we fuck up your movie. And if you do finish, you get to name it, and that's the game.
So if you lose, basically, you're going to have to Alan Smithy.
Pretty much. Well,
you've just Alan Smithied yourself.
Yeah. I don't know if you guys would want to play if you have time at the end of the episode here.
We should run a game, like, in bonus content.
I was going to say, let's do one at the very tail end.
All right,
I'm
all about
shot and
I'm all
how
about
it goes.
It.
Because alas, if we don't
take a break here,
there's no way we'll get to our deep dive
and
start mining away
at
what we all know about a very important topic out there. So we're going to take a break. We're going to get ourselves set. And then who knows what the hell is going to happen.
I'm going to have some more wine.
I was just going to say,
that might
I'm pretty
happen.
Sure there's more wine
involved. Go get some drinks out there.
So when
it's
we
be
come
good.
Back, this is going to be great. You're going to see.
And then, we're going to have a lot of wine.
And this is a whip around. What is it?
Come back.
That's what I'm about.
Daddy.
Be right back.
Okay.
Oh, look at Mr. or Mrs. Big Shot over here. Everyone wants a piece of this go-getter. I'm sure you hear it from your boss, your husband, your wife, your kids, your parents. Everyone wants a piece of you. Well, let us join the ranks, Chief. We need your mighty social media muscles to lift us to new listeners. So like us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter at The Whip Around. Heck, while you're at it, join the conversation. We'd love to hear from you.
We are back from a break.
Sometimes the bonus content itches.
Jesus. Don't edit here. We talked podcasts. We talked literature in our break. We talked Star Wars. We talked death. Death.
Yeah.
Funny,
it's a beautiful thing.
Funny death. But now we've got other things on our minds, and we've got a topic that really has been... Well, it's been on Phil's mind recently. This is something that Phil has been thinking about especially. Am I right?
I started the conversation when we were talking about what topics we want to throw out there this week. And something that I found utterly fascinating was this idea of Russian troll farms. Because you saw last week, indictments came down against several Russians who perpetrated basically false information.
13,
I think. Was it 13 or 16? But
a
bunch.
Teens.
It was in the teens. A bunch of people who perpetrated this propaganda campaign effectively during the 2016 elections. And I find that absolutely fascinating. But, of course, you know what we'd like to do here in the Whip Around. We kind of like to take it in a different way. And so I started thinking about propaganda in general and how propaganda is used in society and movies and all kinds of different things. And where we're not just hoaxes. I want to point out not hoaxes, where it's done for a laugh and you lie and like, ha, ha, ha. Okay, you
no, we're in the sinister.
No, we're in the sinister.
The realm of influence.
Influencing people, lying to them to further some end. And that's kind of where I went with this. And,
well, maybe lying just but persuasion without being upfront about it.
Yeah.
Right?
And that's kind of where we wanted to go with this. And since we've got guests who are famous for the movie knowledge, we thought, you know, propaganda in movies is not a bad way to turn here.
Yeah. And so, you know, when better to explore this idea of movies as vehicles of not just entertainment or information, but persuasion, especially under the table persuasion. When better than you've got two movie experts in the room in the form of Ryan and Gabe, if you recall, they are on the show. Yes, you're still on the podcast. Ryan and Gabe, congratulations.
You're
not still
just
on the
drinking,
show.
You're here.
Oh, man.
Hey,
this is a real
You have
real,
not been eliminated yet.
Real Price of Right situation here.
That's right. So let me just let's loft this out there. When we're talking about propaganda in movies, what springs into people's heads here first?
Triumph of the Will.
Triumph of the Will. Now, give us a snapshot. What is that?
Triumph of the Will is what? Made by Goebbels?
I was going to say, that is propaganda.
Whoa.
On Goebbels.
It is textbook.
Well, then.
World
textbook,
War II.
Like, black and white World War II propaganda film. It is literally a propaganda film about the heroism of the Nazis. And if you want to be, like, modern, not really modern, you have, like, Birth of a Nation,
okay.
Which comes down to, what is...
Oh, yeah.
It is a nation supporting a hero of its time, whether
fighting
or not
they're wrong. Fighting those insidious black people.
Exactly.
Defeating and rescuing those white ladies
those
from
horrible,
the black
horrible mulattoes.
Yes. All right. So, Ryan, what springs into your head when we start talking about movies as vehicles of persuasion that isn't on the table?
In thinking about this, I always think, like, there's a couple of things that I wanted to, like, point out, but I also want to point out that, like, propaganda doesn't always have to be seen as, like, a negative aspect.
Oh, you're jumping the gun, man.
I'll be coming to that specifically later. Be ready. Later.
Ryan,
so
easy, damn.
The two that jumped to my mind immediately works by the same director. So I'll jump to the first one that I kind of think of with this, and that would be American Sniper. That's yes. one that a lot of people had like kind of said like American propaganda, and it's the same kind of thing. You're taking a war hero of a certain country, portraying life story to try and portray everything in a positive light. Now, I'm going to say, get out of the way, like, American hero, yes, the guy did some BA things for his country, and soldier, like, good dude, I'm not shitting on the guy, anything like that.
Don't shoot Ryan.
Yeah, please don't.
Yeah.
But then look
Ryan
at, like,
believes
look at,
in the legend.
Look at the previous work of Clint Eastwood, Gran Torino. Gran Torino is a great movie, but its message and its politics are a little, like, wonky.
Yeah.
Especially, like, you have an old white dude sitting on a porch making racial comments, telling people to get off his lawn and
that's
just,
right.
like...
But he learns
and not just
to be
any
tolerant,
no,
Ryan.
He doesn't.
He does.
No, he doesn't.
He becomes friends with them. And Tao and...
And what does he say to Tao when he locks him in the basement? I used to shoot little nips like you in the face.
No, but he says that to him to convince him.
Out of
him
love.
That, out of love. He doesn't call him a zipperhead at that moment. He tells him, it's okay. I killed people. You don't want to tarnish your hands of blood. It's a beautiful thing.
I don't think
he learned his
lesson. He's just like, I'm an old angry white dude. I might as well go out as an old angry white dude.
Two different movie guys. Two different perspectives.
I think it's kind of weird that Ryan is like, this movie is propaganda for the whites. And I'm like, no, I'm the Asian guy.
He doesn't go out a hero.
Like,
he goes out doing what he wanted to do, killing more non-white people.
No, he goes out. He goes out like Christ. He dies in an act of non-violence to save the others.
But
they may be minorities, but...
Jesus might have argued about the non-violence and they were hammering
that's
the...
Have you guys seen Gran Torino?
I have not, no. I had the disc and I just kept seeing Clint Eastwood scowling and I just was like, I don't feel like watching this.
Funny movie, very
okay.
sweet.
All right, Phil. Well, and be careful because Gabe can still hear you too.
I'm aware.
He can get excited. Movie, propaganda.
What comes to mind? What the Bleep Do We Know? Which was a... bullshit docudrama about what?
Is that how it's filed and like when Blockbuster was still around?
Yeah,
it was
in bullshit.
Do you have anything in your bullshit
section? Yeah. It was like right next to The Secret. And actually, I think they have a couple guys together in that movie that produced the movie.
All right.
It's a bullshit docudrama using quantum mechanics to justify how you can change your own world. And it's really not the way quantum mechanics works at all.
Wait, that's...
The movie.
That's what your movie is doing, because that's kind of what The Secret is doing, just emotionally. So it really is.
It's very similar.
Same idea.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then the other one was Vaxxed. It was the anti-vaxxer movie that was pulled from Tribeca. Yeah, it was pulled from Tribeca 2 years ago, I think it was.
All right.
Yes, it was pulled from Tribeca 2 years ago, the Tribeca Film Festival. And those are the two that come to mind as propaganda, because both of those movies, and I've seen bits and pieces of each of them, I cannot sit through them, because... To a rational thinking person, when you see how it's done, you're like, well, they are clearly cherry-picking quotes, and they are clearly cherry-picking evidence, and they're clearly editing this to get a soundbite that supports what they're doing. And then if you look at, like, well, who produced this? What are they selling? Who produced this? What are their credentials? You're like, well, this is bad.
What's interesting about those, and I guess in everybody else's too, and then I'll throw in my two examples, because for some reason we all came in with, like, a pair. and it is all guys in the room tonight. We brought our pair.
I cross-dress.
That's right, you do.
Awesome.
You've done
I totally do.
That's awesome. Hopefully that comes out. Maybe that'll come up in 3 for the road. Who knows?
Hey!
I still feel bad I didn't get
to
make
it.
It kind of
will, actually.
But what I want to throw out there is, with Phil's, but also with the other examples, is, you know, once again, it's the less informed someone is, the fewer number of non-whites they know, specifically non-whites who are, let's say, of a different generation that they know, the more effective some propaganda can be. The less someone is informed about quantum mechanics or science in general, probably the more effective something like that is going to be. So propaganda is just, you know, it's really best done on a, I don't know, I'll say a fertile mind, but an empty one could also kind of work here. The examples that sprang into my head are way more on the influencing how you feel, or perhaps how you feel about something? Because I thought first of horror, because I'm a fan of the genre. And I was thinking about, like, when I was young, how these things affected me. And so I can't know for sure to what degree slasher movies made me equate girls having sex with, like, in some way that's naughty or bad or dangerous for them. Now, I didn't literally go around in, like, middle school thinking, like, I don't know, when these girls are having sex, people are going to slice them in half with a scythe. But
Mrs. Voorhees.
But that equation is there, the more pure anyone, specifically a girl, you know, happens to be.
Yeah, why is it never the guys who get murdered for being slutty?
Well, I mean, sometimes they do if they get involved with the girls, but the thing that got to me about those horror movies is that purity equates to survival, right? That that sexual activity, but especially with a woman, equates to we watch them murdered. We almost gleefully watch them murdered. I read this article about feminism in horror movies, and it even stretched that out to The Fly, to where Gina Davis just sort of watches in horror after she sleeps with, like, multiple characters in the movie, and we just sort of, we watch her terrorized by this thing. It's almost like the movie is suggesting that she deserves it. So I was thinking about that, and then Phil, and I'm excited to say also Ryan, I mean Gabe to a certain degree, but some enthusiastic Star Wars talk was happening before, and I don't know how much of this you know or can refute if it's not altogether true, Ryan, but
we'll see.
I was doing some of my reading about this, and apparently George Lucas was the first one who wanted to do Apocalypse Now, and then got the no-no because he was this young, sort of hippie-ish filmmaker who wanted to do it, like, in country during the war, and then it ended up being given over to Coppola because that's not going to happen. But he carried with him this idea of doing a piece about this Nixonian evil empire meeting its match, if not, I don't know, rhetorically, but definitely physically, with this scrappy jungle-dwelling population of, you know, rabble-y whatever fighters that turned into the Ewoks versus the Nixonian Imperial forces in Star Wars. So, now, again, I did do some research on that. That's not just me doing, like, pop analysis. But what I thought about when I was reading that was talk about the propaganda. Now, I don't know to what extent that got to me, thinking large-scale operations, organized military, certainly aggressive politics equals bad, the more simple, the more rural, the more freedom fighter you are, good. Do you know what I'm saying? So there, you know, was I brought up post-Nixon to be ready to hate the next Nixon thanks to the Ewoks? I don't know. But that is definitely something I was thinking about propaganda, with how I was thinking as a kid and how other children thought about that stuff.
I feel like I had heard of this, but not to the extent what you're talking about it, but you bring up a good point with that. I mean, when you look at like stormtroopers, what country are they supposed to represent? Germany, can we beat you over the head with that anymore? But putting them,
which gives all everybody's decals and tattoos a little extra,
yeah, a little like
eyebrow.
The imperial insignia is a little more
just
ominous now.
A bit small,
yeah.
But see, like, I'm gonna go home and watch, like, the Star Wars movies now to see if I can, like, identify other, like,
look for Nixon,
countries,
man.
Like, other countries and other, like, rebel armies to be portrayed. Because now that you're saying this, like, Ewoks is that, I'm like, I wonder if they are actually modeled off of, like,
the Viet Cong. They're supposed to be.
I mean, it's all guerrilla stuff.
And, well, I'd heard, like, in the first way that they were supposed to end Jedi was, it was supposed to be on Kashyyyk.
See,
so you'd have, like, Wookiees, like, ripping
Wookiees.
Dudes' arms
I did
off.
Hear that as well.
I had heard that, but I know that Ewok itself, because then people were saying it's, like, an inversion of Wookiee, but there was actually a particular,
well,
there was a tribe. It's not. There's a tribe that, I can't remember the actual name of it, but it's awfully similar to Ewok.
Ewok's not mentioned, actually. The word isn't spoken in Return of the Jedi.
They don't say Ewok at all?
They don't say the word Ewok.
No.
It's only known because of
the
credits.
The toys,
and,
I think, and everything.
The credits real. And the toy. There's something
and
in
that,
the credits.
That other movie.
And Willow.
And the, the Christmas
Yeah, the Ewok
holiday,
Adventure.
Ewok Adventure, that's what I'm thinking of.
Yeah.
And
if
Willow.
If I can put this forward, that I find fascinating. I frequently talk about David Wong, Jason Parjan, a writer for The Cracked,
mm-hmm.
who
yeah.
I think for the most part.
Who did John Dies at the End.
John Dies at the End.
The
I'm
novel,
a big
right?
fan of John Dies at the End,
yeah,
and
yeah,
also
man.
This book's full of spiders. But he's a very fascinating commentator, I feel, on politics today, because he was a man who grew up in a red state and ended up becoming a writer in Los Angeles. So
yeah.
he is has both worlds.
He wrote an essay about...
Exactly. This is the essay I'm talking about, how he talks about that... most modern media today is all about how the people from the rural, humble backgrounds become the ones who overtake and destroy the people from the cities. Hunger Games. Even Star Wars. Luke is a man from the sticks who comes and destroys a big empire. That we have this whole mindset where if you are in the rural backgrounds, it's your job to defeat the effeminate and big money and rich people from the city. It's this entirely different like idea that, in its own way, that is its own propaganda in its own way about how we're supposed to overtake, that the moral lies in the back home, and the all the moral impurity happens in the rich and the big cities.
And that speaks to kind of, but actually not kind of, exactly speaks to my point that this, I don't want to call it full-blown indoctrination, because it wasn't like Star Wars wasn't trying to get us to A, have fun, and B, buy toys. But I'll never know to what extent I was brought in unthinkingly to that, just like with anybody else viewing propaganda, again, quantum mechanics to anything else, how much of it has superseded my critical thinking, and it just sort of laid in as the level.
If you see it before you can think about it, or if you see it before you have any other foundations, it sits there,
right,
and you just accept
your,
it. Yeah.
It's part of your core now that would have to be reprogrammed if that's even possible. Sometimes the defenses are too strong for that. Let me move this along then. And Phil, of course, I invite both of us to contribute, but
no.
I definitely want to open this wide open to the sex and violence guys.
Hi, Ryan.
Hey.
Let me make sure I'm not assuming too much, fellas. Would you agree then, and it sounds like this has already been dealt with, let me just make sure. Propaganda within films, it's not restricted to exclusively a particular era. Yeah, it's not just your Birth of a Nation. It's not just that you're pre-end of the studio era, right? It's not something that was once and done.
I would say, nah, it's prevalent across all decades. But I was taking more, like, propaganda, just breaking it down as, like, a heavily one-sided opinion and seeing that come across in, like, a certain, like, director's, writer's works, trying to push forth one solid opinion and not having, like, a rebuttal for such in said film.
As if there is one right way about this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There's only one way to go about this. Okay, but so then that's a yes, right? That is.
Yeah, it's a yes. It's just a more like a different way of viewing propaganda.
Have we gotten more, perhaps more sophisticated? Not we, but filmmakers, writers,
I think they've gotten
studios.
More sophisticated and smarter about putting their messages in and not having you beaten over the head with the message.
Okay.
So
Gabe,
to speak.
Your thoughts on that?
I agree with Ryan. I feel that there's propaganda continues to this day in many different kind of ways. So I remember when the election was happening, there were trailers in our local movie theater for Dinesh D'Souza's latest film.
Oh, it was there's a hell of a name, by the way.
Yeah, that guy is a goddamn enigma. Never mind things like, I remember growing up, there was Bowling for Columbine, which is his own kind of thing, and Fahrenheit 9/11, which again should not have beaten Old Boy for the Palme d'Or. What the fuck is that talking? Like, really,
just
guys?
Saying
Old Boy is
Old Boy should have been the Palme d'Or.
Nobody.
Like, again, propaganda film. Why did that beat this glorious Korean revenge drama craziness? Propaganda does not belong in Cannes, but I felt that...
More like in the can.
In the can! Flush!
End of universe!
Anyway, so we had something... You have something like Dinesh D'Souza's movies. I remember I was in the movies, and the trailer for Hillary's America came up during the election. And every single time, I endeavor to not shout "fuck you" at the screen, because that's personally me. I'm a child of immigrants, so you can't blame me for being mad. Propaganda keeps continuing, and I think that it's just we have to keep on nuance what's going on today. Like American Sniper, it didn't occur to me that was propaganda until I sat back at all.
What about Rocky IV?
Rocky IV.
What about Rocky IV? Anybody willing to maybe hang something on whether
Cold
Rocky
War
IV
propaganda?
Is a
that,
propaganda
that
in
Top
there.
Top Gun.
I was going to bring that up.
Red Dawn.
I think it's called the hockey movie.
Yes.
Miracle.
Oh, Miracle.
Miracle.
Oh, it's Miracle,
it.
Yeah.
Which is the hockey movie, basically.
81?
Well, yeah. Well, no, no, the Mighty Ducks 80, 81, is the hockey movie.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, so these movies, I would argue, and it sounds like I'm in a receptive room for it, have some propaganda qualities in
elements,
them, too.
Elements, yeah.
Top Gun was funded by the Navy, wasn't it?
Yeah, Top Gun was, in fact, funded by the Navy.
And it worked.
It worked.
Recruitment went up, like, 80% ridiculous
number. It made them look really cool.
As did windmill
super
high fives.
Super really cool.
Yeah. Nationwide.
Dude, I still do windmill high fives. I don't care.
Volley?
I'll do it right now.
If I had a big enough backyard, I'd have a volleyball court and we'd all play shirtless.
Let's do it.
It's the only way to fly. Boiled, shirtless, windmill high fives.
Why was there not a shirtless flying
I forgot the ball. are we willing then, and this goes back to something Ryan said, are we willing to sort of comfortably carve this into two categories, maybe, and what are your feelings on this, that there is harmful and non-harmful propaganda? Is that cutting it too fine? Is that something you're willing to agree with? Would you say you can think of an example?
I think it's all harmful.
All harmful.
You think so? Wow, are that harmful?
Essentially, yeah. You're going to be harming somebody no matter what you say.
Now, but this is in the case of propaganda, or just regardless of your message, no matter what?
Regardless of your message. I mean, if you're preaching peace to somebody, there's going to be some warlord who just wants to, like, shoot people and be like, ah, fuck that.
Well, let's say we reject the feelings of
warlords. Okay.
But, I mean, you're still saying that...
Sorry, it's a demographic I wanted to make sure we covered.
Ryan, we don't need any warlord retweets.
Listen... For the Mufasas out there, for the David Koresh coming up,
the King T'Chaka.
I'm next, right?
Yeah, you know, we're big in the Waco market.
He's
yeah.
I'm thinking about you.
Yeah, but so Ryan, I just want to press this a little bit. Just as far as propaganda goes, you're still saying, look, the Navy using, let's go back to Top Gun, still harmful. I'm not going to put that in the category.
It's going to harm somebody. I mean, I'm not saying, like, I'm not going to go home and watch Top Gun tonight. Like, I still think Top Gun's a great movie. But, like, the message of anything being propaganda, trying to push your opinion somewhere, mm-hmm. it's going to be harmful to somebody somewhere.
Okay.
It's not making it saying it's... being harmful isn't negative. I don't know how I'm talking.
I'm just fascinated because you were the one who said I was thinking about propaganda that can be good earlier on, and you're like, you know what? I was just thinking there are warlords. Fuck that shit.
Yeah, now I'm thinking, isn't it?
Their feelings matter too.
Yeah. I think I'm just going to stop talking.
Warlord lives matter.
No! There's the hashtag for the episode. Thank God. Okay.
Before we jump all into that, the one thing I wanted to bring up to Gabriel was the one recent propaganda thing that we had talked about. We're doing like a recurring segment on sex and violence where we're watching like all of The Punisher. And then we're going and saying, like, fuck vigilante justice.
Yeah. But like, Punisher is wonderful about depicting vigilante justice as something complex and painful and not something to be... Like, the Bernthal's Punisher is not all about, kill the minorities. Bang, 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 bang.
This is why I need Gabriel. He lets me know I can have my cake and, like, eat it.
I got you, bud.
But you Marie Antoinette, you.
Well, let me steer it back, then. Let me steer it back and pass this off to Gabe.
Yes.
Categories, harmful, less or not, or even helpful propaganda, is that a distinction you're willing to make in some cases?
I really am, though. That's a problem. I am totally willing to make allowances for positive propaganda. I would argue that American Sniper is a positive thing, partly because that movie is primarily about sympathy for the veterans' plight. That the movie, if the movie had not ended, if Chris Kyle being killed by a fellow veteran... then that would be a propaganda film. But it absolutely is all about how people are harmed by war. We're not taking care of our soldiers. That's the thing we should be looking out for.
But you're saying it remains propaganda.
It's still
in as
propaganda.
Much as it's saying...
But if you're okay with that, then by that same... Like, you have to go with the other side of the coin and be okay with the other side's, like, version of that event.
Like Lone Survivor?
No, like...
Or Rambo 4?
Not like a Rambo 4, but, like, having, like... If you're okay with that form of propaganda, you need to be okay with, like, the rebuttal from the other side. So having, like, these Iraqi warlords wanting to put up, like, their version of the American Sniper...
But my point is...
Your propaganda is effective against them, but you can't have theirs because it's against your message.
Do you have to accept the inverse, though, I wonder, if Gabe is saying...
I think you have to have everything in the prism and, like, be okay with it existing. I mean, history is written by the victors, but, like, we're in an age now where, like, every little piece of information... You're never going to destroy any piece of information from here on out.
I just wonder if one side of propaganda could technically...
Again, I'm arguing for the warlords here. I just want to make sure...
No, I get it. I get it. I've never felt so close to Idi Amin, and I appreciate where you're taking us. So, all right. Okay. And we've got some fun difference of opinion on it. Let me turn it to Phil. Phil, let me twist it a little bit for you.
Oh, dear.
Let me put a lime twist on this. Do you think there are any topics, any issues in and of themselves that lend themselves to or have lent themselves to, you know what, that issue... That topic can and has been helped by some kind of propaganda. Is there anything that, and if it hasn't, could it be?
That's tough.
I'm picking on you this way because you had brought up, and you're the only one so far who brought up specifically like
science
documentaries.
Backed, yeah.
Right.
I mean, I guess, and my thing is this, there are definitely groups out there that could deal with some positive propaganda, I suppose. And one that we had talked about earlier today is teachers, in a way. The plight of the American school teacher is total shit right now in so many ways that...
Phil, what if I gave you a gun? Would that make these better?
Don't.
God damn it.
Don't.
I knew it was gonna
no.
go in here.
I'm not going to take it for like three reasons, but I'm not going to get into that right
what
now.
What if you got a raise because you had
What if you got a sword?
Falling Down 2.
Oh my God.
I will
hell
bet
yes.
if you had an actual real lightsaber and gave it to Phil to arm himself with.
Oh,
be okay
yeah,
with
I'm
that.
Down with that.
Yep, see?
I'm sorry. Hold on, Phil. Within the realm of physics, can I watch you destroy your own joy right now?
I'm part.
What would happen if you tried to ignite a lightsaber
I'm part
in real
life? I'm part of the NLA, the National Lightsaber Association, and I think all teachers should have lightsabers.
Oh, boy.
I'm all for it.
Yes. Train the younglings. Arm the younglings. More lightsabers.
Shield lightsaber zone here.
We are not a lightsaber lobbying group. We are a lightsaber fandom group with arms and tendrils into every part of your life.
They're not taking mine.
Hey, Rogue Alliance out there in New
York.
You
can take my lightsaber from my cold, severed, robotic arm.
Did I finish a thought in there?
Somewhere in there.
Probably.
Somewhere.
I hope so.
Well, here's what I wanted to do and take the issue of things that maybe could be, maybe we shouldn't propagandize.
Oh,
them.
Right.
But I was thinking of two other things, and I wanted to see if the folks in the room wanted to bat this around a little bit. I don't know what cable network you have. I have RCN. And every time I go to do On Demand, they have, like, movie previews immediately running.
I hate that.
For a long time, it was, it defaulted to, like, the Left Behind series. And then if it wasn't that, it was the God Is Not Dead movie.
Really?
Like, it was, yeah. Like
they
it was
really
on
did not.
These things. They were like... You, like, you know, the Hulk Hogan point at me.
Trying to save your soul, buddy.
And I was thinking of those movies, and they were very popular among a certain set of folks. And then I was thinking about Passion of the Christ, which did extremely well and had been, and everybody was pretty open about this.
It's one of the highest grossing movies of all time.
It really is.
People were being told to go see this by their priests, right? By their churches. They were saying, you got to go see this movie. And I just wondered on where on the spectrum of propaganda from, well, it's kind of jingoistic, if anything. Maybe they're trying to get you to sign up for the Navy, and they really are. All the way up to, you know, Birth of a Nation, where it's like, look, there's an agenda here that is being pushed really hard, right? Where do you see these movies where they are really taking religion and saying, come and watch this. This is what's going on. Even giving argumentation points, because there are discussions within those movies, I have read enough to know, where it basically teaches you how to have an argument with someone who is not faithful. It's sort of a primer in discussing that sort of
That's
stuff.
Not good.
What
That's
are your
grim.
Thoughts on that?
I don't
on
like
those
that.
Movies, on religious propaganda within movies?
High propaganda, low risk. I feel that. Then again, if you guys ever watched that video where Bill Nye debates a creationist.
Oh,
The Ken Ham debate?
Yeah.
I think yeah, exactly. And he loses handily because the audience doesn't want to listen to him, even though that literally. Like, if you
You're
have.
Saying he, who.
Bill Nye. Bill Nye loses because the audience. Easily
I think they had a series of debates. I think I've heard the one where it was more the scientist crowd.
Oh, okay.
I
definitely saw one where it was a creation
depends on your
school.
Audience.
But okay. It depends on your audience. But
sure.
I feel that, personally, I'm not threatened by a highly religious film. For me, it's like, whatever.
I'm wondering
don't
more
care.
Or less about
Let
you as
it.
A savvy movie watcher, or Ryan, or Phil, or myself. More like... thinking about it in terms of what the effort is and then the masses that are out there. Because, you know, you can say, and I think we all probably would, have we all seen, by the way, Passion of the Christ?
I have not, actually. I've never seen
okay,
it.
Okay, so it's always 50%
I'm still confident
table,
that no one in this room would go watch that movie and be like, you know what?
That
it
Jesus
is
guy.
The Jews' fault. If any of this is true, it's definitely the Jews' fault. You know,
I was pretty on edge, but now.
I'm just wondering about your thoughts about how it is reaching out to people and how it's reaching out to people, not just that movie, but also, again, these Left Behind movies, The God Is Not Dead.
Your priest is telling you to go see it. The only thing we worship, the almighty dollar.
Yeah.
Personally, I feel like it's a dying breed, that I'm not worried. It's like, you know, if they want to watch a movie that makes, or Jennifer Garner says, hey, I prayed my child back to life, fine, be happy. You're wrong. I don't worry. I'm not worried. I'm really not. I mean, I don't know if it's cocky.
Ryan, you went to Catholic school.
Yeah?
I'm a Catholic. I was raised Catholic.
I went to a Catholic college. Is that...
I was raised scientist.
Yeah.
Really?
Pretty much.
All right.
You've met my dad, Sean.
That's true. Actually, yes, that is true.
Come on, don't give me that look.
No. It's just the notion, like, I was raised Catholic. I was raised Jewish. I was raised biologist.
Scientist!
I have a friend who was raised atheist. I have to get his opinion on these kind of
things.
That'd
be fascinating.
I mean, I got
there. I'd be interested. Yeah.
I have deep ingrained,
like, Catholic, like, genes in here, so
same.
I don't know.
Is that guilt just all the time?
Yeah.
I used to have that.
It's an active effort
unbuckled.
To say, I don't believe. I have to like pull out of a gel and say, and it's fine
I
used to, long after I was like, I don't think there's a God, every night I was doing a Hail Mary and Our Father and
exactly.
a Glory before I fell asleep, just because it was like
words right out of my mouth.
It was the Pascal's Wager. I was like, well, I mean, maybe he's up there, what are you gonna do?
Yeah.
Okay,
was
so
it hurt?
So Ryan, what do you think about movies that have a particular angle toward, hey, get out there, you know, say this, believe that, do that, this particular faith is responsible for this, or any of that stuff?
I think as long as it's not actively calling for violence against other people, I'm
Catholic
generally...
So now you're anti-warlord. I see.
Yes, now I'm anti-warlord.
You're a flip-flopper.
Yeah.
Does American Sniper actively call for, like, violence against people?
It makes it seem pretty cool.
It makes it seem cool, but like you have your active soldier, that's soldier's job. That's what I was saying about like the other side. Like you can keep all those same beats of, you know, the soldier's
I think he looks
journey.
Rad, but it's a sympathetic story to his drama and his anxiety and his plight.
All right. Think about this.
All right.
Well, Passion of the Christ. Well, using it as like Passion of the Christ. It's not hurting anybody. If you want to go to this stupid movie and read the subtitles, have fun.
Poor guy gets whipped for 2 hours.
I told the story on Sex and Violence about how I saw it, and like my parents took me when I was like 15, and like coming out of the theater, this is how I knew like I was going to be on a different path in my life. Everyone in the theater is just coming out like absolutely crying, and it was the first time in my life I ever pulled my favorite joke to pull at a shitty movie where I came out and I looked at my parents bawling, and I was like, so I can't wait for the sequel.
Wait, but the fucked up thing is, isn't there going to be a sequel?
There has to be one!
Passion of the Christ 2. It was the Family Guy joke about that.
I know, but I swear to God, I heard it's getting made.
Oh,
is it really?
I hope so.
I hope it is the actual Family Guy version.
I hope it's like actual Judgment Day.
This.
Like,
because
3 days later.
If it's like, who gets beat? I guess it would be like another, like, the we're going after the apostles now. It sort of becomes like the Running Man to be like,
if you,
now you gotta get through.
Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute. If you redid the Running Man with the apostles, I would watch the shit out of that.
That would be amazing.
I think I could sell Gabriel on it.
Okay.
Here comes
the 12 Apostles movie.
What's the game?
Done like Kurosawa's Seven Samurai.
Oh!
We get a team
I got him back. I got you back on the Catholic team.
Judas is the what's his name?
Kikuchiyo.
The sort of not really there samurai that he's in, he's out kind of samurai.
Kishiro Mifune Kikuchiyo.
Thank you. Mifune.
Very good.
God bless
Thank
you,
buddy. Mifune. All right, Phil. Phil, your take.
I think anything that's... listen, there's a difference between, I think...
I have to listen. I'm on a podcast.
I
Watch
would love
me.
To listen.
Watch me.
Read my lips.
I'm a fan of your fucking show. I'm all ears.
Thank you. Damn right. It got stunningly quiet.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I better
really,
say something important.
Really hear
yes,
you right
bring
now.
It down, buddy.
My thought is this. I think
about people chiseling what you're about to say into stone.
There's a big difference.
Because they will.
Don't fart.
I have to. I've been squeezing cheek for a while. There's a big difference between sci-fi and fantasy and a propaganda. And the most difficult propaganda to refute is the one that starts from a kernel of truth. And I know this is a magician, too. If there is something that is true in a performance, then everything else that follows can go with the logic of, well, that was true, therefore. And that's really super friggin' dangerous. So I think any propaganda can be dangerous in the hands of stupid people. And I think
okay,
part,
but you're,
part
you're
of
going
it
around
is
the suburbs of the question, and I'm going to push
go
you
for,
now.
Well, nobody gives
go
you a straight
city.
Answer on this fucking podcast.
That is exactly the truth. So what do you make on the terms of the spectrum here, harmless all the way up to in the absolutely insidious and potentially effective?
I think every...
Where do these movies that have a spiritual... They hit the tuning fork and resonate with people in a pretty vulnerable area, and even those people are being pushed
I think
into watching.
I do think it's dangerous to a point because I think you can mobilize and radicalize further a group of people,
okay.
You know, to create you know a surge of support for X, Y, or Z. I mean, if you're put it this way,
I'm
just
ready.
Because you like Passion of the Christ, you know, means you're in theory, Catholic of some sort.
Or you're just into
S&M shit. God, I was going to say, but that there's
dusty Bronze Age S&M
Someone
shit.
Someone high-five me.
BronzeAgeS&M.com.
That's right.
That's the new sponsor.
Backspace whip in the eyes.
If you want a real whip made out of a real goat.
Whip in the eye, yeah, where the whip in the eyes around.
The
Remember
whip
that?
Around.
With the whip that had like the little spiky balls on the end.
Cat on eye tails.
No, but it was different. Like that's usually like just flail. This had like anyway, it was in his face, and then Satan.
If any of my friends from Wicked Satan Fair can like help me out on like this one, I'm all ears because I know you freaks know.
Satan was the best part of that and any story.
I love you all.
South Park to Passion of the Christ. It's all about the Satan.
I love it.
You were saying, Phil?
I don't
we were
remember
chiseling
anymore.
Into stone. Well, come on. I can't.
I got nothing. My train of thought derailed and five passengers were killed.
All right. So we're pretty much at time anyway, but I want to...
Okay. What time for one more?
First of all, I want to leave room for Gabe and Ryan to be able to do some plugs and some chat.
Well, hell yeah.
But before we do that, before we have our break and then get into three for the road, which will be three for the road times four, so...
12 for the
road. A case for the road.
Bad at math.
Half a case.
What I want to do, let's go around again. I would like to hear your title of the movie that is propaganda all about yourself. So,
ooh,
what would the title of what would the title of the propaganda vehicle be about you? Mm. All right, Phil.
I'm thinking of my title still.
I can do it.
Ryan, how about we start with you?
Slinging gin, endorsing sin. The Ryan Stone.
Oh,
story.
Very God nice. Damn, we have to start that good.
Hot over.
Yeah.
Fuck this. Hot Hang on. Time over. Out.
Yeah, it's over. It's over.
Desi approved.
That's right. Nice job.
I
nice
did.
Job.
Wow,
damn.
Star, by the way, and starring whom as Ryan?
Ooh, who plays me? This is tough. I don't know.
I can see who's a Bradley Cooper type.
No, we discussed this.
Okay, who was your... Who
Remember,
was
it was Casey Affleck.
Casey Affleck is you.
Ooh, because then I can have Michelle Monaghan actually play Michelle Monaghan.
No allegations.
But I was going to say, but off camera.
Yeah, off camera, yeah.
This one has been washed of...
Yes.
Yeah, this one's not...
This one's been cat-o'-nine-tails into purity.
I like it, yeah. Want me to go?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. I think mine's going to be called Not Gay. starring... Either Jason Schwartzman as me, or I don't. I think that I have a kind of a nice, despite being Asian, I have a nice nebbishy quality to me. He wouldn't be Asian if I had to pick an Asian guy.
We're gonna have to do some operations.
I know. If I have
whitewash
to, okay,
movie.
There's no one for me, BTW. That I have to find. If there's one Asian guy who's to play me, it's the way over the hill at this point. Dante Bosco, who played Rufio and Hook.
Oh my god,
that's fucking awesome!
You're right, and it's
not even got the hair going right
you're
now.
You're supposed to say no.
Hell yeah,
no. I'm
my
not
whole
no,
life.
No, that's it. That's
my
right
whole
on
life.
There.
I'm sorry.
This I was Rosie over Halloween twice.
Are you serious?
I was.
And God bless you, sir.
Just to fight. You're the pan.
Say bangarang.
You went the
say
pan. Bangarang. Bangarang. Not the pan, man.
We got some photographic evidence.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
That Mr. Mara is.
It'll be him. It'll be called Not Gay, about a straight man who dates white women. And Latinas, trying to prove that he's
Latinx.
Not gay, even though he does theater and drag.
All right.
That is a long subtitle.
I know.
But that's okay.
And all right, so I'm going to go one more step with yours.
Okay. If it acronyms, I'm going to...
How do you picture the soundtrack? Who's the musical? Who's in charge of the music?
For my life
and not
or for
gay?
Yours?
For no, not you.
Gay? I have a vote on this.
Scissor okay. Sisters.
Bowie.
I just
Winner.
Gave up. No, all right, you know what? Bowie. That's fine. Phil?
The only thing I could come up with, because, and you know me better than everybody sitting at the table, you've known me for 10 years now. The title of my movie
has to
be Complicated.
Oh.
Okay. What? Why?
Soundtrack, Avril Lavigne.
That's right. Or Weird Al. You
mean, oh my God, decapitated? Hell yeah.
and who plays?
Jason Statham.
Naturally.
I would love that. Yes. You give Jason Statham a sensitive, like physicist teacher. I mean,
he has to keep the accent.
I would watch that movie.
I love that.
Keep the accent.
I'd be so happy.
Are you kidding? Yeah,
absolutely
there's no way
has
he's
to keep the
Who
accent.
Plays your wife?
Oh, that's tough. No. Who's the girl from Easy A?
Emma Stone.
That's her.
Gotcha.
Done.
Okay. I actually
interesting
I
pull on an Emma Stone movie, by the way.
Of all movies I could have done, I went that
Love
way.
Love Easy A. It's a great movie.
It's fun.
It's such a good movie.
I actually, the reason I brought that up is I can never think of one for me.
Uh-oh.
I cannot. I invite you if you would like
to
try.
Oh, by the way, real quickly. I can never John think Williams, obviously.
For your soundtrack.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, it makes sense. But I can never think of one.
I would really watch this movie.
I can never think of, I mean, it used to be like, oh, Brendan Fraser would play you, which is vaguely insulting. But no, I cannot think of a propaganda film for myself. It's where I've got
I would
that
give
spot
you
of.
Either a, oh boy. Either a young Stanley Tucci or a young Robin Williams.
This is interesting because we're casting first.
Yes.
That's interesting.
I would go young Robin Williams.
Young
I
Robin,
see
Williams.
Robin Williams.
You have an electric presence and a fast tongue.
But it's like Robin Williams from... I was thinking Robin Williams from...
Good Will Hunting.
Bingo.
There's a lot
because you get the beard
Sean,
going right
there's
now.
A lot of gravitas to you.
Oh, and I'm not, and there's no argument. Literally, I can't be like, no, I was thinking more like this because I'm literally like, I got no. nothing.
You know, like,
no,
like
I think
Good
that,
Will Hunting era Robin Williams is
yeah,
you.
That's right. it. You got that.
All right.
And then as far, and you've already got your music.
Smith, baby!
That's right. So, yeah, maybe, and if the listeners want to try
oh,
to
title.
A title.
Holy
title?
Crap, yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Like, we got to find one. So if any listeners out there want to give a title to a propaganda film about yours truly,
Haze in the Mist.
I will absolutely give some stickers for that one. Even a postcard, maybe.
Oh, ooh, dear.
A postcard
we have postcards
with a sticker.
That's awesome.
We have a few. Bangarang.
Where are we going?
So, as ever, there is Holy plenty crap. More that I wish we had time to say, but we
if
are...
If you've got ideas, write us.
Yeah, of course. And email and Facebook and Twitter.
All
and
that shit.
Show us something on Instagram, but keep it holy now. And yeah, we'll be back on the other side of the break. We still have three for the road. We'll be doing that with Gabe and Ryan, so we're going to have plenty of things for you
Half
to think
case
about.
For the road.
That's right.
You're not the pan, man.
So,
I can't see you as anything else now.
Crow?
I know!
Can you crow us to break?
Okay, sure. Bangarang! Cuckoo!
We'll be right back.
Boo!
Hell yeah!
Hi, this is Dave from the Whip Around. You know what I love? A hot, steaming cup of coffee. But you know what I love more? Stars. So be sure to go to iTunes and give us a 5-star review so more people can find the Whip Around. Thanks again.
Act 3 begins now. And before we get to the exciting conclusion, which is 3 for the road, and so many of the 4 the roads we have, there's some show business, dare I say, to take care of.
Oh, I see what you did.
You do not see what I did, because we're on a podcast. The best it could be is that you heard what I did, and I don't care because you already let me down.
Not for the viewers.
It might have been some boshishness.
Viewers. Caught it.
We're back. And so let me turn this over to Gabe and Ryan, who have a really, 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 really cool promo going on with Sex and Violence that you're going to want to pay attention to. So, guys, what is the promotion, the exciting, dare I say, contest that's going on through your show?
Ryan, take it away.
So we have a friend of the show, Mr. Tyler Martis. You can see some of his work on Instagram at @T_Martis, M-A-R-T-I-S. So he is designing a custom Warriors poster for us, which we're going to start.
The Warriors.
He's got 3 of them that he's making. So we got one, gifting one to the...
folks
here at
the
Whip Around, and then
Whip Around swag from the Sex and Violence guys.
You got Coaches,
and then the third
one, you got the Riffs.
We'll talk later about where that one's going to be floating
to. That is really
yeah. And by the way, we've seen his artwork; it's unbelievable.
You can catch a preview of it if you actually go to his Instagram page. So go @T_Martis, check it out, and give him some love. Give him a couple follows. So
I'm going to say it's sort of like a super cool retro kind of.
Yeah, he's kind of got that vibe.
Cell art style.
Yeah,
his like style of movie watching is very similar to like the Sex and Violence stuff. So he's got that eye for
synergy.
Really cool.
Oh, more synergy.
Yeah, and it was gonna say if you want to win it, this is how we do it, right? You've got a 5-star Sex and Violence. You've got a 5-star The Whip Around. We will see your username on both of them, and we will know that you did that. If you've already done that for both of us, you're already entered. We're going to put your name in a hat. And when you guys air episode 50, is it, I think?
50.
If that's when the poster's done, because I know he is trying to make it the best version possible.
Right.
So within the next, like, month or two, we will have it.
We'll keep you guys posted. But yes,
that's how they win.
Keep
hours,
on reviewing.
Right? That's not necessarily.
Yeah, that's how they win. That's how they win.
You win the whip around.
Right. That's how you win the whip around edition. Yes, right. You can win another one if you want a second chance to enter. You can You can do the sex and violence maneuver. That's which, right. Whatever
the
that
sex
is.
The sex and violence maneuver, by the way, is the name of our band. Like,
oh God!
No, 100%. Yeah.
For sex and violence listeners, all you got to do is comment on our Instagram at Sex and Violence Pod, or write into us at our email at sexandviolencepod@gmail.com. Title, poster. So just write into us, tell us you want the poster, and check out T_Martis's artwork. It's amazing. It's beautiful work. You got all these Warriors characters. It's really, I'm jealous. I don't get one. I don't get one, Ryan.
Yeah, I don't get one. He's my freaking friend.
That's bullshit.
Bullshit.
I get one if all of our listeners decide that they're going to stop listening and then Phil and Jill and Dave all run
the
away.
The only entries, yeah.
Yeah, if honestly.
Are four of us.
Everybody stop listening to the Whip Around immediately.
We will forward the some images onto you guys, the Whip Around Instagram, to take a look at these pictures.
Yeah.
So please check them out. The poster by Tyler is amazing. I'm floored
gonna
by
want,
it. It's
you're
going to
want this, guys.
And
you're
by the way,
this.
Thanks, Gabe. Thanks,
yeah, and
Ryan.
Thank you guys for giving that to us. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having us. We're
Are
so
you
excited.
Kidding? We had
to be
a great
here.
Time. I don't want this to end.
Oh,
I was
going to
say, Phil's going to get emotional now, like he does at the end of every show.
I have whiskey in the car. We'll get drunk and hang out.
There you go.
Hey, that's a hell yeah.
There you go. There you go.
Best show ever.
So, all right. All right. Are we all ready to move into. What? Oh, right. Here you are saying, I'm so sad. Now I know why.
No, I wasn't. It's
Edit
fine.
Here.
What's up, Phil?
So Phil's got the room here. He's got he's got the floor. We're all
so
gonna...
listen, I don't want anybody to be sad, but I'm dying. No, I'm kidding.
What?
I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
Oh, my God. No one's ever legitimately done that to me ever more.
I go beyond gallows humor here.
That was sarcastic.
I go beyond gallows humor.
That was a sad woohoo.
Look. I said before during the show, ply to the teacher.
Phil's going
to
be a man.
Yay! Yay! In space!
Phil's going to be a real boy now.
No, seriously, it's I'm exhausted. And honestly, I can't do for the show what I want to do for the show. So I'm going to be like a reserve host. I'm going to be a bench host.
Oh, dang.
I'm going to be a host emeritus. I'm going to be a host at large until the summer.
Once the
summer hits and I'm free of the semester, I come back on the regular. But like until June,
I think he just wants to wear shorts on the show.
Yeah, just because I'm in a suit again.
Right,
I'm gonna be
tired of dressing
right
up for this shit. No, honestly, that's what it is. I can't do what the show deserves in the behind the scenes work, and there's a whole lot of behind the scenes work that Sean does, and Jill does, and Dave does, and I should do.
And Caroline does.
Hi, guys.
And Caroline does.
And Kate,
and Kate does too. And I can't pull my weight, and that's not fair, so I just need to step back and not be a part of it unless you need me in an emergency. So I'm going to back out
the
for
bell
a while.
The bell mark has remained consistent, however.
Thank
I
God.
I would like to say that.
Yeah.
And we'd like to announce that we have a new co-host in Sex and Violence, Phil LaPorta. No, that's
so
wow. That would be the biggest
so
thing.
Happy.
Could you imagine
brutal.
If I'd have managed to keep that a secret from the two groups? That would have never worked.
That would have been hilarious. No.
Holy shit.
The Sex and Violence and Science podcast.
That actually has kind of a nice ring to it. I
like
lie.
It, actually.
Sex and Violence and Science.
All right, so so don't go crying too hard.
No, and every now and then you'll hear my voice.
Phil's going to be in. He's sort of he's like Malamars.
You'll hear my voice.
You're like Batman and Justice League.
It's better than Aquaman.
That's true.
Ooh.
Fuck Jason Momoa, the swimming hobo.
Okay, please don't shoot Ryan. Please don't stab Phil with the trident.
What about me?
Please kill Gabriel.
Please. God, yeah.
So all right.
Sorry.
We've come so far.
So now let's close this
we've
out.
Come so far, it's time for our fastest segment, three for the road, wherein we talk about things we didn't have time to talk about during the show, maybe didn't fit with the theme of the show, or something that is just burning a hole in our brain. And so everybody gets 30 seconds to go round and round and round. Three times to say those things, and once you exceed that 30 seconds, you will hear something that sounds a lot like this. Thank you, Desi. Well done. What a maestro of bell ringing.
Damn right.
So anyway, and once we've done all three for all four of us, that is it. That's all she wrote.
That's all 12.
That's right. That's a dozen things for you to think about.
Oh, shit. I just realized something important.
What
all right.
Who's going first?
Who cares to go first? Who wants to go first?
It's you now.
All right, I'll go first.
By the traditional not it maneuvers.
That's fine.
And then which way are we going around the table? This way?
I care not a shit.
Okay, so Sean and Gabe, then Ryan.
Okay,
me.
Sounds good.
Sure.
Normally we do that off air. Oh well. Good luck, everybody.
Are we ready? Are
I'm
we
ready.
Set? I go. All right, this week, it's actually the second time I've talked about this, the big recommendation to read and subscribe to McSweeney's.net for all of your smart, satirical, literary comedy needs. The latest gem that I saw on there, Toto's Africa, as written by Ernest Hemingway. Here's some highlight text.
What?
The crying of the dogs reminded him that he would need to do what he knew was right. Now that she was here, of this he was as certain as Kilimanjaro rising like Olympus above the Serengeti. So go ahead, go to McSweeney's, read the entire thing, Toto's Africa, as if it was written by Ernest Hemingway.
Guys, seriously, I don't have really good eyes. I have to wear glasses. I paid for my night vision glasses. And honestly, while I'm driving, why are your fucking headlights so bright? I don't get it. Why do you have LED highlights? My headlights are so mild. I'm driving, and if I'm going up a hill, the last fucking thing I want to see is your fucking headlights blinding me. What are you doing? Why are they so bright? You're hurting me. I don't turn on my fucking, like, inside cabin headlights. Turn them off. Turn them down. What's your problem?
Now you've seen him mad three times,
oh,
I guess.
Jeez, here we go. Rampage the movie. I just saw a trailer for it the other day.
No.
I didn't know. I did not realize that they were actually going to make a movie off of this stupid video game movie. It's got Dwayne The Rock Johnson in it, giant monkey and a giant alligator and some giant other stupid shit.
All right.
You know what? I'm in.
Soundtrack's great.
I like machine guns. I like giant animals. I like Dwayne The Rock Johnson making stupid comments. I guarantee you it's going to go down as the cult classic of this year.
Oh, someone better get eaten prediction. For health. Someone better get eaten for health in that movie.
So I'm going to say this. We talked about propaganda before. I think one of the greatest propaganda movies for fun is Top Gun. You want to know how to make
buddy.
It? You want to know how to make it more fun?
In space! Come on!
You get it? You get it, and you get the riff tracks for Top Gun, and you listen to the riff tracks while watching Top Gun. That is a fun time. That's all I got on that one.
Like it.
Wow, that was a quick one.
I know, sorry.
Next week is just me and Dave again on the Whip Around, which means it's
Dave.
Triumphant return of Sneaky Geeky Dads.
Yeah.
Sound effect here.
And this time, because we are so close to the Oscars, the show's going to come out, I think, like, you know, a day or two after the Oscars have played, we're going to be doing a movie special.
Uh-oh.
And we're going to have comedy. We're going to have our own little categories and own little awards to give out. And one category that I can give a preview to and confirm is the Biddies. It's the award for bit part and cameo work in movies. We're going to go back in time and give some out belatedly. And yes, one absolutely will go to Chris Farley. Have no fear.
Ooh.
So if you have any suggestions for anything that wins the Biddies, cameo or bit part roles, send them on into the whiparound at gmail.com.
Dick. On a serious note, guys, one of my favorite comedians and writers, Harris Whittles, died a year ago, maybe 2 years ago now, actually, in February. He died of a heroin overdose. He was this amazing comedian who contributed to Comedy Bang Bang many years over. He was a brilliant, brilliant guy. Listen to his You Made It Weird by Pete Holmes if you ever want to hear about him. He was amazing. He died of a heroin overdose. His sister, Stephanie Whittles, wrote a book called Everything is Horrible and Wonderful about Harris Whittles. So definitely check that out. Contribute to his entire fun. Buy a t-shirt. Harris Whittles is a fucking genius. He's amazing. Check it out.
Look at you giving bonus time, you son of a bitch.
I'm a nice guy. Leave me alone.
Jesus. Here's one of my biggest pet peeves. I'm a bartender, and I hate when I'm going around the bar to get drink orders from somebody, and they put their stupid hand up to flag me down, and then they start asking questions about things Oh, you should have your goddamn order ready.
Fuck them.
I'm so upset with people. Hey, can I get you a drink? Fuck you, next person. Have your order ready when I get to you. That's pretty much it.
Oh.
Fuck you, who's next?
Okay, so one of the biggest questions remaining in science is why is there stuff and not stuff? Because if antimatter and matter cancel each other out at any given point in time, then why is it that there is this asymmetry towards stuff as opposed to not stuff? Because if it was symmetric like so many other things, we shouldn't exist. One of the theories going on is that a neutrino is its own antiparticle, and that is one of the things that we are studying right now. And it's going to be interesting to find out if the neutrino is its own antiparticle. Keep an eye on that.
Love it.
Nailed it.
All right. By the way, do you remember the movie Stuff? Do you remember that movie with like the marshmallowy stuff? Stuff. Do you remember that horror movie? You ate the stuff and then it like took over your brain. Well, anyway,
no.
Look, I got marshmallow fluff. My last thing here, which
is kind of
ironic, after Ryan's three for the road, I'd like to give a shout out and praise to the bookstore, which I have finally been to the bookstore Speakeasy in Bethlehem. I have the address, but I'm not going to tell you because it's a Speakeasy and it's a secret, and I don't want people going now that I want to go there. Had a fantastic time finally getting to go. The daiquiris there, best. I would say the best I've ever had. Ryan and other bartenders took great care of me, so go on over.
Thank you, sir.
It's great vibes, good times. You're going to love it. Get over there, but don't go if I'm there. If I'm there, get out.
Guys, I'm a big fan of Janelle Monáe. She's a wonderful musician. And honestly, I want to say that her new release, which is just Dirty Computer, is an amazing new album. She has new singles called Django Jane and Make Me Feel. It's a Prince song. I am so fucking happy that apparently the mantles of Prince and David Bowie have gone to two women rock stars. Mantle of Prince has gone to Janelle Monáe. Amazing. And the mantle of Bowie's gone to St. Vincent, Annie Clark. Fuck it. They're amazing. Listen to them now. Go.
Now.
Now. All right, so before we came back from break, you guys were talking about some guy shoving hot dogs down his throat, and that just made me think about how much I like eating hot dogs.
There's a segue.
Although,
yeah,
one of the worst things, I think, is the New York style of cart way of doing it with the boiling. I don't like boiled hot dogs. I think it's bullshit.
Okay.
Slow roller only, and the one thing that people always, always get wrong, and it can elevate your hot dogs ever so much. Steam those buns,
steam
baby.
The buns.
Steam the buns.
Can't argue
a little bit
that.
Of canned cheese, toppings, whatever you want.
Oh, have you ever had a fried hot dog?
I have not. I'll put it on the list.
You're on the thing. We all have to try.
This is the thing. We got to go to Rhett's Hut.
He's getting all of us.
Okay, and speaking of things before they disappear, Jupiter's Great Red Spot.
No.
Oh.
Yes, it's been shrinking ever since we've been observing it. And the
like my sex drive.
Hey.
I haven't been watching, but I feel... I'm sorry.
My sex drive?
I feel a little bit less drawn in now. It's not gone.
Since the last time you were on the show, I don't feel... My lightsaber is not quite a full 34 inches.
Juyo. Makashi.
Vapid. But yeah, it might be gone in 10 to 20 years, so look at it while it's still there. In space!
Woo-hoo! And that, ladies and gentlemen, is how you do Three for the Road, hot dogs, and science.
Good
and
job,
movies,
everybody.
We got a lot in that time.
Don't do heroin. Listen to St. Vincent.
And fry those
steam
hot dogs.
And steam the buns.
Steam those buns.
Steam the buns. Fry the dogs.
Stick it in your steamed buns.
Love it.
So that's another whip around episode for you. Another hearty thanks.
Done already?
Thank you.
To Ryan. To Gabe.
Sean, Phil, thank you for
Thanks
having
for
me.
Having us.
You
are
you
more
guys,
than
welcome.
Hi, Dave. Hi, Jill.
And I'd
Hi,
like
guys.
To give an additional shout-out, by the way, to my Grody Valentine edition episodes of Sex and Violence. I happen to do one about Near Dark, so see it.
It's an outstanding episode.
And see Near Dark. Some of the finest editing of podcasting around, actually. Like,
Sean,
Gabe does some
honestly,
exquisite
yeah,
work.
You kill it, man. You really
it
do.
It took me a million years to cut that because, literally, everything you said across 25 minutes was too interesting to keep in.
This guy over here.
Not a joke. It took me so long.
This guy. He's going to make me cry. Gabe has just died for your sins. So, yet again. Thank you to Sex and Violence. Go check them out. It's Sex, the plus sign, Violence is how you're going to look for that. So
every Thursday.
Yeah,
that's how we are on iTunes. It's Sex plus Violence. On Stitcher, it's Sex and Violence. Please be careful.
Okay. All right.
Oh, man.
Listen to the man himself there,
yeah,
folks.
They know.
A lot of trouble.
Any last words? Ryan, Gabe.
Thanks for having us, guys. It was a hell of a time. We'll have to have you guys both back on our show.
You're damn right.
Oh, Lady Vengeance.
Crossover.
I'm waiting.
Oh,
yeah,
I'm
Vengeance.
Waiting for Lady Vengeance.
Get that happen.
Caroline wants it too.
Gabe, are you going to be heading to LA soon? Maybe, probably.
Sooner rather than later. Money
but
is
Sex
tight.
And Violence.
So on April. So please listen to Sex and Violence. Listen also to Slow Readers, the other Top Gal radio show where Daniel Reichel and I discuss literature and nothing but literature ever.
Don't you touch me.
So touch me.
Oh,
we will, of course, see you next week. Again, it'll be Dave and myself that time. The return of Sneaky Geeky Dads.
Yeah.
After that, our first musical guest.
Oh,
the Rogue Diplomats.
I'll be not on mic, but I'll be in the studio making sure shit doesn't explode.
Well, you'll know Phil's there. You'll know he's there.
I'll be squeaky.
In spirit.
But yes, a locally, quasi-locally based. I mean, they're in New York. They're in Bethlehem, all around. But an Irish rock band will be here. To,
in time for Valentine's
to
Day.
To serenade. What the hell are you
I mean,
talking
time
about?
For
what's
St.
the
Patrick's
matter with you? You got your Lucky Charms all jacked up, you psychopath.
That's why I need to retire from
just
this show.
In time for Christmas and Kwanzaa colic. So just in time for St. Patrick's
Praise
Day.
Praise Columbus.
They will be here. They'll be playing live in studio.
Phil.
That's it.
I told you Phil had some special news.
That's why I can't.
He really is dying.
I'm why I can't have nice things.
That's right. So anyway, we'll see you. Very exciting things happening. We've got other guests coming around the bend that you're going to be excited about, too. But yeah, first musical guests. After Woo! That, we've got some artists and actors. It's going to be amazing. We will see you then. Don't forget to subscribe to the show. If you dig it, give us a rating. 5 stars.
5 stars.
It makes you feel good, I'm telling you. It makes
nice
you feel good to 5-star rate the show. Yeah. Right? Body and soul and whips in the eyes. You're going to love it. So until that time that we can come and be with you again, I'm sure I speak for Gabe and Ryan of Sex and Violence. I'm sure I speak for Phil
Totes.
And his confusion about holidays.
You know.
And even Dave and Jill, and who knows where the hell they
Hi,
are
guys.
Tonight.
Hi, Dave.
We
Hi,
bid
Jill.
You a We love you. Bye.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
If I had a big enough backyard, I'd have a volleyball court and we'd all play shirtless.
Let's do it.
This is the only way to fly.